Funding for this program is brought to you by Knight Incorporated and their MetaTracker 5. The app, once used exclusively by actuaries and underwriters, is now available to the general public. And by Taruki International, providing reliable, safe, clean energy from their state-of-the-art breeder reactors. And by listeners like you. When is your mind not your own? How would you know? If it wasn't, would you care? Reputed terrorist and mass murderer Corvus Corax held enormous sway over the minds of psionics and sensitives for the better part of four decades. His reach and influence continue to be felt even today. Chains could not hold him. Prisons could not contain him. Davening fields could not limit him. It begs the question, did we capture him, or did he capture us? Mankind has long thought itself master of this world. But among its ranks, giants grew, beings of immense power, outscaling humanity and reaching out toward the Promethean fire. And in so doing, cast behind them a twilight, leaving us, their brethren, in the shadow of the gods. Episode 4, Corvus Syndrome. I'm Jonah Fox. One year after the existence of a level 12 psionic criminal was revealed, causing us to re-examine our place in the universe, everything changed again with the announcement of the capture, incarceration, and subsequent escape of the reputed terrorist and mass murderer, Corvus Corax. Many remember feeling safe when he was captured and then recall the raw terror when they heard he escaped. There is something about your mind that should remain sacrosanct. And Corax, well, Corax was the defiler, the despoiler, the destroyer. He caused us to doubt ourselves, not with what we said so much as with what we thought, what we believed. He took away our self-control. We reacted in many ways, but always with that common thread, common enough to be diagnosable. We call it Corvus Syndrome. Dr. Peter Abeling, COO of the Corax Institute, has been studying Corvus Syndrome and its effects on the human genome for many years. He made a startling discovery and believes he has succeeded in determining how Corvus Corax escaped Dingo River all those years ago.
They never really had him in the first place. Not really.
While publicly the good doctor has resisted any further involvement in the hunt for Corvus Corax, his private quarters deep behind the Institute's security defenses tell a different story. An entire laboratory sealed off and cleared out of anything not Corax-related. At its center, an old wooden desk, which Dr. Abeling is unable to sit behind as the desk chair has been pulled out and covered in reports and findings.
Corvus Corax isn't a human being at all. He never was. Oh, he was born on this Earth, like you and I, all right. But he's different in nearly every other way. Cardiovascularly, digestively, lymphatically, all of his major systems have either been replaced or heavily augmented by Psi.
Dr. Abeling and I talked for a while, and he presented me with quite a complete and thorough presentation of his findings. I'd love to tell you all about them. Unfortunately, the details have recently become classified. The timing of such a finding did not go unnoticed by this network. However, we've removed the report visuals from our broadcast in order to adhere to our new federal compliance standard. Remarkably enough, that standard didn't include audio.
Corax is made of pure psi energy. He always was. I believe that it wasn't until he fully realized he'd become cornered at the Montana-Saskatchewan compound and his connection to his followers, the citizens of Corax, had begun to diminish that Corvus truly understood what he was capable of.
Dr. Abeling and his team feel that simultaneously to the Paladin Brigade's drop landing into the compound, Corax was already well underway to establishing a process in which he'd be able to escape his cell, his iron shackles, and even his very body all at once. Through the demonstration of psionic transmissions verifiably made from the compound during the apprehension of Corvus Corax, Dr. Abeling and his team have been able to trace Corax's actual path of escape from Dingo River by tracking the very psionic energy he transformed himself into in order to make the transmission.
When backed into a corner, Corvus Corax didn't bow down and surrender to the Paladin Brigade. He reached out to his followers, using his psionic abilities, and took hold of their minds. Those still within reach, who he still shared some kind of established link with. His true believers. Once connected to as many of the citizens of Korax as he could find in the time he had remaining, before the brigade had him in custody, he divided himself amongst the minds of his followers and simply waited there, divided into pieces.
It was a good plan. Directly after the apprehension of Korax, the public celebrated for less than a week. After that, the Hale Protocol, or rather the public version of the protocol, had been released to the media, and a new wave of backlash sprouted at the loss of freedom, personal expression, and unimpeded natural development. Were they regular humans? Could they have become something different without the influence of Corvus Korax? What could they have become with his influence? There are simply no answers to those questions.
Then the riots came.
Dr. Aveling hangs his head in shame as if he were personally responsible for everything that happened following Korax's brief incarceration. It's a feeling that's haunted the doctor every day since, regardless of who has come to his institution to forgive him. And yes, there were riots. Incredibly destructive psionic riots like few residents of the continent had seen before or since. They raged on for over 6 weeks and were peppering the middle to northwest regions of the United States, leaving law enforcement personnel, military personnel, and even the Paladin Brigade taxed beyond their wildest forecast. More rioting was reported in the southern portion of Canada and sporadically all across developed Mexico for an additional 3 weeks. The fact of the matter is that it would have been very easy for a scion with Korax's abilities to simply get lost in all of that madness and await for the coast to clear before either exiting the brains he had been inhabiting or recombining into one psionic superbeing. When combined with this new and newly classified evidence that Korax was a being of pure psionic energy, this story has the makings of a first-class scientific conspiratorial discovery that looks to be rapidly transforming into many of the community's working theories of today and beyond.
How else could you explain the over 6 million cases of Corvus syndrome we are actively treating, with more cases discovered every single day?
That's not all. The level of trackable psionic energy on the planet has nearly quadrupled since Korax's apprehension. The number of average citizens who are reporting spikes in psionic energy to the Institute has nearly doubled in that same time, and both Interpol and the Brigade's command structure have both expressed their thoughts on the issue in countless interviews across multiple media outlets. In short, there are many who feel that the reported numbers are woefully inaccurate and the number of citizens who now find themselves with the ability to develop psionic powers and control them are likely more than the reported number. A lot more. Possibly up an additional 45%.
During his 18 days of incarceration, Korax's body was slowly being converted into pure psionic energy. After the first week, he refused to eat, and it was simply documented as a peculiarity to those of us who were monitoring and investigating him.
Dr. Aveling and his team continued to work diligently to discover everything that they could from Corvus Korax. A thorough examination of the Institute's records showed that regardless of how difficult that became, the employees of the Institute almost unanimously decided Korax was simply being stubborn. Korax himself never lets on to what's happening in his body. Not once.
After the second week, he refused to speak. At the 16th day, it appeared as though he had become catatonic. The patient was given a full physical, and the decision was to leave him in his cell.
Dr. Aveling has always and continues to remain steadfast regarding his consideration of the safety and well-being of the staff and crew of Dingo River and the surrounding communities. Unfortunately, as it turned out, it made little difference in the long run.
He simply vanished into thin air right before our eyes. This is undisputed. The vast amounts of data collected that day do not lie.
Dr. Aveling raises his arms out to his sides and spins, surveying the room full of equipment used in the care and imprisonment of scions. This same equipment, 25 years ago, was working in conjunction around the clock, recording the entire event. It simply took a couple of decades to truly decipher what all of the data collected meant. I asked Dr. Aveling about all of the personal accounts of Korax during his escape. What about the fabled 51 seconds? What of the traumatized, injured, and even deceased staff of Dingo River? Are the rumors true?
Korax no longer needed a physical body. He was no longer confined to being in only one location at any given minute, second, or even nanosecond. While the video cameras only recorded 51 seconds of footage, Korax had a lifetime of eternities to find his way out of Dingo River, and that's exactly what he did. Frankly, I'm surprised it took him 18 days to escape.
During those 18 days, a new natural resource, comprised entirely of psionic energy, was created and continues to float above North America in currents that ebb and flow much like the ocean. The governments of the continent have never officially acknowledged the existence of this ocean of psionic energy. They call it a myth. Most others know of it as the psi field, and it has changed the way we view everything. Is Corvus Korax somehow living inside the psi field? Is it shielding him, feeding him, sheltering him? Or is the question at once more simple and more terrifying? Are the psi field and Corvus Korax one and the same?
That's the one question that we are still absolutely no closer to answering, even all these years later, I'm afraid. We have massive amounts of data, but no facts. In theory, it's possible, though. It's very possible.
You have been listening to In the Shadow of the Gods, Episode 4, Corvus Syndrome. Written by Kane Dorr and Paul Ellis. Performed by Paul Ellis. Theme music, Into the Storm, provided by Brandon Lee, and is available at freemusicarchive.org. This episode was produced at Wireless Adventures, all the thrills with no strings attached. This program is copyright 2016 by City Newsnet and is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. Reporting for City Newsnet, I'm Jonah Fox.